Clerk, please tally the board.
25 members present.
We do have a quorum to conduct business. Leading the invocation today is Reverend Kathleen Wakefield, Deacon of St. Brennan's Episcopal Church. Everybody please rise for the invocation.
Let us pray. Spirit of life, we give you thanks for the gift of this new day. Grant that we may walk through this day with integrity, treating ourselves and each other with dignity and respect. In the midst of difficult decisions, give us the gifts of wisdom and discernment. Help us temper justice with mercy, righteousness with compassion, and make us ever mindful of those in need, whether through their own fault or the fault of others. And finally, help us find some bit of joy and laughter in this day to lighten our spirits and give us perspective. All this we ask in your holy name, so that at the end of this day we can rest in the assurance of your love and the knowledge that we have done our best to live out our call as your servants. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Wakefield. Representative Veazey, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Bryce?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Mr. Majority Leader?
Good morning, Madam Speaker. May the record reflect that Representative Barnes is excused from a call to the House today because of a family emergency, and that Representative Coring is excused due to illness.
Those two members will be shown as excused. Clerk, please certify the journal for the previous legislative day.
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 103rd, 104th, and 105th legislative days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House of Journals, as certified by the Chief Clerk, be approved.
Without objection, the journals stand approved. We have guests today for introduction. Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Again, a wealth of introductions today. I'd like to begin by introducing a guest page to my left, Morgan Bergstrom, who also is the son of Diane Lindback, who works in my office. And if the body could help me welcome him, please. And Madam Speaker, the enthusiastic school kids in the back in the gallery behind me, in the Taylor Gallery, are a mixed age class from Harborview Elementary School, which is just down the way here, close to our high school. And as I call their names, perhaps they can rise. I'm going to introduce them by first name only. Kamiko, Monica, Lizzie, Naomi, Giselle, Greg, Mingming, Katie, Tally, John, Yvan, Nicole, Brandon, Michael, Sierra, Sarah, Stephen, Lorvin, Jenny, Katie, Caitlin, and my next door neighbor, Matt, accompanied by their teachers, Sarah Adams and Kathy Fanning. If you could help me welcome them, please.
Now stand at ease. Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I thank you for your sharp eyes. We did not mention the name, and I probably should have mentioned that some of these students, I think, are also constituents of the representative from District 4. But we missed three people, Randall, Nick, and Mo. And if the body could help me welcome them also, please.
Good. Further guests for introduction? This brings us down to messages. Do we have messages from the governor?
I have no messages from the governor, Madam Speaker.
Messages from the other body?
Message dated April 25th stating the Senate has passed and returned House Joint Resolution 16, CS for House Bill 117, Labor and Commerce, and House Bill 118. Message dated April 25th stating the Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Joint Resolution Number 20, Rules Amended, thus adopting CS for Senate Joint Resolution 20, Rules Amended House. The Senate has passed the following for consideration. Senate Bill 149 by the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Reports and Audits Concerning Healthcare Facilities and Providing for an Effective Date.
Have we referred to the HES Committee and Finance Committee?
and Senate Bill 175 by Senators Sharp, Wilkin, Green, Miller, Taylor, Kelly, entitled An Act Relating to Revenue Bonds Issued by the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority for Interties Between Healy and Fairbanks and Between Anchorage and the Kenai Peninsula and Providing for an Effective Date.
Finance Committee?
I have no further messages from the other body, Madam Speaker.
Communications?
We received from the Commission on Judicial Conduct the 1996 annual report. We received a list of the Speaker's appointments to boards, commissions, and committees, NCSL Assembly on Federal Issues, NCSL Assembly on State Issues, Council of State Governments, Pacific Fisheries Legislative Task Force, Western Legislative Forestry Task Force, and the Energy Council. Those will be listed in the journal. I have no further communications, Madam Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
State Affairs Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 9, Amend Uniform Rules Committee Action on Bills, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 9, State Affairs, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass James, Dyson, Beasy, and Ivan. The report, or amend Berkowitz. The report was signed by James Chair. House Concurrent Resolution Number 9 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 47, Telephone Victim Notification System. Attaches a fiscal note recommending do pass James, Elton, Berkowitz, Dyson, and Ivan. No recommendation, Beasy. The report was signed by James Chair. House Bill 47 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Transportation Committee has considered House Bill 87, Traffic Offenses in Highway Work Zones. Attaches a zero fiscal note recommending do pass Elton, Kukesh, Caldery, and Hudson. The report was signed by Hudson Acting Chair. House Bill 87 as a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 162, Ban Craft Buying on Liquor Premises, recommending it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 162, CNRA, with a new title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass Jewel, Kukesh, no recommendation, Ogun, Sanders, Ryan, and Ivan. The report was signed by Ivan Chair. House Bill 162 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 163, Gamma-hydroxybutyrate as controlled substance, recommending do pass Rokeberg, James, Bundy, Berkowitz, and Green. Attaches 2-0 fiscal notes. The report was signed by Green Chair. House Bill 163 has no further referral. The Transportation Committee has considered House Bill 248, East Egan Drive in Valdez, recommending it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 248, Transportation, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Elton, Kukesh, Sanders, Caldery, and Hudson. The report was signed by Hudson Acting Chair. House Bill 248 has no further referral. Finance Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 1, Finance Amended No Frills Prison Act, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 1, Judiciary, with the same title, recommending do pass Terrio, Mulder, Coring, and Foster. No recommendation, Moses and Davis. Amend Davies. The report was signed by Terrio Co-Chair, CSSB 1, Finn Am, has no further referral. Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered Senate Bill 9, Capital Project Matching Grant for Indian Reserve, recommending do pass Jewel, Kukesh, and Ivan. No recommendation, Sanders and Ryan. The report was signed by Ivan Chair. Senate Bill 9 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 38, Judiciary, Atomical Gifts, Living Wills, and DNR Order, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 38, Judiciary, with the same title, recommending do pass Porter, Green, James, Bundy, and Berkowitz. The report was signed by Green Chair. CSSS SB 38, Jude, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 89, Labor and Commerce, Barbers and Hairdressers, Recommending DuPass, Hudson, and Roakberg. No recommendation, Calgary, Sanders, and Ryan. The report was signed by Roakberg Chair. CSSB 89 LNC has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 91, State Affairs Amended, Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy. Recommending DuPass, Hudson. No recommendation, Calgary, Sanders, Ryan, and Roakberg. The report was signed by Roakberg Chair. CSSB 91, State Affairs Amended, has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered Senate Bill 106, Notary Public Bond, recommending DuPass, Porter, Green, James, Bundy, and Berkowitz. The report was signed by Green Chair. Senate Bill 106 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 112, Judiciary, Marriage Licensing Functions, recommending DuPass, Porter, Green, James, Bundy, and Berkowitz. The report was signed by Green Chair. CSSB 112, Jude, has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Citations or resolutions for introduction?
Citation honoring Robert C. Janes, founder Juneau Lions Club Disabled Ski Program by Senators Mackey and Duncan. In memoriam, Nora V. Collette by Senators Halford and Phillips and Representative Dyson. I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Bills today for introduction?
House Bill 265 by Representative Martin, an act relating to pamphlets, publications, plans, and records of state agencies and relating to reports to and from state agencies and the governor.
That will be referred to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
Representative Martin.
Madam Chair, if I may, could I ask for that to be held for an hour or so? I'm sure a lot of people will be wanting to get on that bill. It eliminates 43 annual reports. And I'm sure a lot of us are tired of reading reports. The Department of OMB has done a wonderful job for the past year and a half reviewing all the annual reports that we requested by law. And these are the ones they unanimously agree are completely unnecessary.
If the body would
thank you.
Take a look at that, and if you feel like co-sponsoring that, please make sure that you get your co-sponsor slip into the clerk today. Representative Croft, I'll stand at ease. Madam Clerk?
House Bill 146 by the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee entitled An Act Relating to Competency Testing Requirements for Secondary Students and Providing for an Effective Date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 146 Hess with the same title, requested an additional referral to finance, attached to fiscal note, recommending DuPass, Dyson, Bundy, Veazey, do not pass, Kimplin, no recommendation, Green and Bryce. The report was signed by Bundy Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 146 Finance with the same title, attached to fiscal note, recommending DuPass, Hanley and Mulder, do not pass, Davies, no recommendation, Terrio, Moses and Davis, amend, Coring and Grusendorf. The report was signed by Terrio and Hanley. Co-chairs, I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent to the Finance Committee substitute for HB 146 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
Yes, Madam Speaker. Amendment number one by Representative Kimplin, beginning page one, line one, following four.
Representative Kimplin.
Madam Speaker, I move amendment number one.
There is objection. Representative Kimplin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment changes the nature of the standalone exit exam to more than just being an exit exam, and it becomes part of a comprehensive approach to measuring the performance of kids in our educational system. It allows for the early identification of students learning needs and create specific checkpoints by which these needs are accurately measured. And it gives the opportunity for the school to engage in serious remediation for those deficiencies that have been identified by these checkpoints. The as it currently, the proposed legislation as it is currently structured is really only a last step. And it should not be. It should be a part of a more comprehensive approach to learning the necessary skills to earn a diploma. You could kind of categorize it, I suppose, as if the exit exam should be the caboose at the end of a long train of academic measurement and school improvement, and not just the only car on the track. It's my understanding that exit exams have been tried in other states and with mixed results. And generally, where they have succeeded, they have been part of a comprehensive approach to measurement of a student's performance, and that the where they've had just the exit exam only by itself, there have been increased dropout rates, expensive lawsuits challenging the exit exam, and many, many students who never succeed in passing at all. I believe that the amendment would provide a more comprehensive, a more systems-oriented approach to the measuring the performance of our school system and the products, which are our kids. And I would encourage the members on the floor to give it serious consideration as we go to vote on it. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Regretfully, I must oppose this amendment. I say regretfully because the amendment speaks to a lot of really good things. It wants schools to assure performance in our students, and then if the students don't provide this performance, then they'd like to provide some kind of remedial instruction. Well, Madam Speaker, that's what schools are supposed to be doing right now. And to add this amendment that said the local board shall measure these state performances, there's a number of tests that the various schools, districts choose to use or choose not to use. But most importantly, when a student is not able to read, when a student is not able to write or perform basic mathematics, the role of the school is to provide that instruction. I don't see that we need to expand the bill, because I'm afraid that schools will take this as an unfunded mandate, and if we want to go to the ridiculous extreme, say that we then need to hire tutors to provide the remediation for all the students that might have problems with these various tests that they would choose to impose. No, Madam Speaker, these tests do exist, are being used, and teachers do this every day, provide both instruction, and then when goals haven't been achieved, they provide remediation. And I wouldn't like to open the floodgates to doubling the school population, teaching population.
Further debate? Representative Elton?
Madam Speaker, I thought the previous comment, I thought I might agree with it the way it started out, that this amendment does a lot of good things, and then it kind of segued into something that I didn't quite disagree with. Madam Speaker, I think what this amendment does is it provides for early identification of those students who are in trouble. It provides kind of checkpoints and check gates through which they must pass, and it then provides that there's a system to help those students. And Madam Speaker, I rise in support of the amendment because I think that the goal of the schools shouldn't be to identify failure. The goals should be, let's put in place a system of tests that identify where some remedial work needs to be done so that we don't have failures. And I think that's what this amendment does. It provides not that we identify failure It provides a method of getting beyond failure so that we can help kids not fail. And for that reason, Madam Speaker, I speak in support of the amendment.
Further debate? Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I also rise in support of the amendment for many of the reasons that were stated earlier. And would just note that, you know, the sort of fiscal impact problem that was identified by the sponsor of the bill is really kind of a red herring in terms of this amendment, because, as he noted, the schools are supposed to do this already. There are Title I funds, other funds that the schools have to deal with children with special needs. And, Madam Speaker, I think what this amendment would do would speak to a systematic approach statewide where the Board of Education could specify a sequence of testing that would be adequate to identify these problems early on and provide those signals to the school districts so that these kinds of remedial programs could be administered in a more effective way. Madam Speaker, I don't think that this amendment by itself carries any particular fiscal note. But, Madam Speaker, I think with the bill without the amendment would simply, as the previous speaker indicated, you know, identify failure. It would be too late. It would be a too simplistic a proposed solution to a very complicated problem. And, Madam Speaker, even with the amendment, I don't think that we would get to the point where we need to be without a lot of work at the district level. But that work needs to go on. This would help the develop a formal structure of interaction between the Board of Education and the districts in really having people roll up their sleeves and get to work on really trying to identify those things that need to be done if we want our students to succeed. But without the amendment, Madam Speaker, I think it's a hollow promise. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Without discussing the bill, just so that there isn't any confusion, the bill does not purport to provide for a single entrance exam to be taken, or exit exam to be taken in a senior year. It phases it in over 4 years. Anyone who was still taking it the senior year would have had the opportunity to take it and get remedial instruction 3 times.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Representative Nicolai?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just reading my notes, I noticed that the Alaska Association of School Boards recommended interval testing in the 4th, 8th, and 11th grades. That way the problems could be addressed and assessed throughout a child's education, and this amendment would do that. And I think that is a very good reason to catch the students that are having problems in their early years, in their early education years, instead of catching the problem when they're in their senior year. And I think this amendment would take care of that. And I would recommend that everybody vote for this amendment.
Representative Ryan.
Yes, Madam Speaker, thank you. Testing is a two-edged sword. It not only rates the competency and the learning of the pupil, but it gives the teacher a reflection on how well he or she is doing their job. And if they have an inordinate percentage of their students who are not doing well on the test, it shows that they need to go back and to look at their lesson plans and see why they're not doing things the way they're supposed to. There's an old saying that there really aren't any poor students, there are poor teachers. So I think that this should be part of a curriculum, an evaluation of how much material you're getting across as a teacher to the students, and this should be conducted every day as part of your class curriculum and your daily lesson plan. I realize that these goals in the amendment are laudable, but they have a large fiscal note. They always do. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I believe the previous speaker actually spoke his arguments, in my mind, were in favor of this amendment. And I agree that, we need to test students and that we need to analyze those test results. And when the students are not doing good, we should try to determine why not. It may or may not be because we're not teaching the students properly. It may be that the test isn't accurate or has not been put together properly. It may be that it's not testing the items that the students have been taught during the year. I mean, there's a lot of things there. But I think the point is that the testing, if we're going to require an outcome-based diploma, we're going to require a test to get a diploma at the end. It makes no sense to do it just at the end. It needs to start early so that we can work towards that. If it's not working, if the students are not passing it, what are we doing wrong? It doesn't do any good to do it just in the high school years. Let's do it early. And so I believe this amendment is a very good one, should be supported.
Further debate? Representative Jewell?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just a question. I think it would be both of the maker of the amendment and the sponsor of the bill. As I look at both of these, one of the things that comes through my mind is that if the state were to develop a test, would then the school districts, in order to try and get their students to this level, be aligning and having to buy a new curriculum to get to this test? So would that be an additional cost to the school districts? If somebody could answer that, please.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The test will measure students' abilities at four periods in their educational career, in reading, writing, and arithmetic. This is certainly not something that will require the school district to change their curriculum. I think the core curriculum of the schools, all the schools in Alaska now require competency in reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think what my good friend from the Slope also brought up was the need to have addressed within House Bill 146 some type of statewide standards, and that's provided for in this amendment, Madam Speaker. We're stating that there will be reading, English, and mathematics, and that students will show competency in those three areas. But, Madam Speaker, we currently do not have a fair, well, we're in the process of establishing statewide standards for the state that will be voluntary. My concern is, without this amendment, we do not move towards appropriate testing. We're not doing anything to require the school districts to start aiming towards those voluntary standards. What we will be doing without this amendment, I believe, is starting to teach an expected test. And, Madam Speaker, I think that what we're doing here is providing the school district with flexibility and the Department of Education with the flexibility necessary to ensure that they teach curriculum, not a test. Thank you.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think the previous speaker made the point, maybe unintentionally, we do have a number of state standards. They are, as was pointed out, totally voluntary. In an attempt to keep as much local flexibility and local control in the various school districts as possible, I purposely did not mandate, as the bill went through the HESS committee, state standards. As someone has mentioned, it's a very popular educational theory now to manage outcomes. And a school district can use the standards that it deems necessary for its unique situation, as long as we can be assured that their high school graduates indeed can read, write, and count.
Further debate? Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. Madam Speaker, I rise a bit reluctantly on this because I'm confused. There's nothing in this bill that precludes any individual school or school district doing all the intermediate monitoring steps necessary. And I do believe there's a role here for what the sponsor of the bill is doing. And I have a lot of confidence that the quality of educators and school boards that we have scattered throughout the state can make whatever necessary monitoring steps they need to and remedial steps to make sure that students have all the chances they need to do this. I think the sponsor really spoke to this subject, and I do not think that mandating the intermediate steps is necessary, and I think it's a bit of a vote of no confidence for the educators and the school boards we have in the state. Thank you.
Representative Kemplin and wrap up.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The comments made by a couple of the prior speakers regarding the point that the schools are already doing this is, I guess, doesn't seem to be quite accurate, because if the schools were actually already doing something along those lines, we wouldn't need an exit exam to begin with. I think that the problem is that the schools are not doing it, which is what creates the difficulty, in that we do need objective measures early on in the educational process to make sure that the teachers and that the schools are teaching the right type of material in reading, writing, and mathematics, and that those core reading, writing, and mathematics are a core type of curriculum items, and that we certainly need to make sure that our youth are performing at an adequate level throughout their time in our educational system. And it's really important, I believe, to do it at an early age. I think it's well recognized that people and children, when the younger they are, the more adept they are at picking up knowledge, the more they are able to learn about these issues, and the quicker they are able to change. If we wait until 9th, 10th, 11th grade, 12th grade to test them, you know, for many students, they're already locked in to their pattern, to their who they are as human beings. By reaching out to them and getting them at an earlier age, we are able to actually affect them in a positive fashion. And I think that is what this amendment does, and I would appreciate the support of the body. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Clerk, please open the roll. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 25 nays.
And so amendment number 1 fails to pass the House. House stand briefly at ease. Madam Clerk, do you have further amendments?
Amendment number 2 by Representative Bryce to page 1, line 6.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move amendment number 2.
There is objection. Representative Bryce.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Amendment number 2 does a couple, well, one very simple thing. It moves the House Bill 146 away from establishing a statewide outcome-based educational policy to a policy to encourage students to take the test, become involved, and get passed. I think it's very important when we're taking a look at what we're doing with the bill without this amendment. What we're doing is saying you've gone through all your classes, you've passed all your tests, you've passed all your papers, you go to a single examination, and bam, that's it. You screw up on that examination, you're out. Or you don't receive a diploma. What we're doing with this amendment is changing that away from such a policy as that to one where a student takes the examination and basically would receive an endorsement on their diploma. I think at the very heart of it is we take a look at what diplomas mean to various students across the state. Madam Speaker, a diploma is necessary to get into just about any type of VOTEC program. Yet, without having statewide standards in reading, math, and English, these tests will not necessarily reflect the importance of the various or a consistent policy statewide. I think by adopting Amendment Number 2, once again, we move away from a mandatory nature to a test that encourages students to participate, encourages students to take the test, and to become endorsed. And with that, I would appreciate the support of the body.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the purpose, again, with a little latitude, we're not talking about a single test where a student has a chance of only one shot at success or failure as far as a high school diploma. But more than that, the purpose of House Bill 146 is to ensure that we have students who receive a high school diploma will be literate. They will be able to read, write, and do basic mathematics. To go anywhere away from that, to give someone a diploma who's not functionally literate, is, I think, a great disservice to students, and so I oppose this amendment.
Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just wanted to rise briefly to say I certainly concur with the speaker just before me, and quite frankly, am surprised that we would plan to give someone a diploma from high school for any other reason except achievement. And so, therefore, I would urge everyone to vote against this amendment. It is, deletes the purpose of this bill.
Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. The other day I had a little bit of free time, and I did what I normally do, and I watched the minority leader in some of his old speeches. And he made the point that just because we've been to school doesn't make us expert on education. And I am somewhat an expert on being a student since I spent a lot of time in school. It seems to me that all this amendment does is put the requirement in the positive, that once you get beyond the competency test, then you get a certificate of, or you get the endorsement. They're still in lines 5, 6, and 7, the prohibition against getting a diploma. So you're not going to get a diploma unless you pass the test. I also recall in an earlier debate, several people in this chamber remarked that they'd had problems with tests. And that's part of the difficulty I have with this entire requirement. And I just ask that the body try and put the new requirement intended by the bill into the positive light rather than into the negative, which can stigmatize students throughout their lives. Thank you.
Representative Ogun.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment, and maybe I can share a little personal experience. When I was in high school, I didn't graduate with my class. My senior year in high school, I was, frankly, I was bored. It wasn't challenging. There wasn't a reason for me to be interested in what was being taught. I was always one of these kids where they were always telling me, you're not working up to your potential. You're much smarter than the grades you're getting and what you're doing in school. And so I went, I had a choice. I could either take my, I failed one class that was required to get out of, to graduate. And I had a choice. I could take the year over or I could get a GED. So I decided to get a GED. And that challenged me. And a GED, you have to require it, you have to pass a certain amount of competency to get your diploma. It's essentially what this bill, in my opinion, is going to do. It's going to test your ability to what your knowledge is and what your abilities are. And I learned more taking that GED course, I think, than I did in the entire time I was in high school, because it was something that challenged me and it required me to learn stuff. And so I rise in opposition to this amendment. I think that it's imperative that we challenge our kids, that they say, I've got to meet this goal. I can't just slough off if I want to get a degree or a diploma, and if I want, especially if they want to further their education. So I think this bill is a good idea, and I think this amendment undermines the intention of the bill. Thank you.
Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I think sometimes we need to sit back and we need to think about the unintended consequences. And I rise in support of this amendment because I think that if we're going to make systemic changes, we ought to start making the small changes and gradually build up to where we think we need to go. And that doesn't mean that you take the bar and you move it from 1 foot to 6 foot. I mean, a high jumper knows that you add height as you practice and as you work toward your goal. Madam Speaker, I'm bothered about this bill for a couple of reasons, and I think this amendment gets to a couple of the reasons that this approach bothers me. And the first is that my mother used to say, "You use honey, you don't use vinegar to get people to do something." And in the marketing field, in which I spent a little bit of time, you talk about pushing a product through or pulling product through. And what this endorsement on your certificate does is, I think it helps pull people through. And it does that without giving them this scarlet letter of an F for failure. And I think that's good. But I also am a little bit concerned about the approach. Frankly, I think that kids who fail in high school began failing sometimes before they got to the first grade. And by the time they get to high school, the fix is often difficult. I'm real concerned about a system that puts in place tests that set thresholds that students need to jump over. And I wonder if what we're not doing is we're not going to be seeing more people graduate with a high school degree, but a lot more people dropping out of high school because as they begin taking these tests, they prove to themselves that they're failures. And they figure, well, why stick around in the school system? And I think that's one of the unintended consequences that we have to think about. Are we putting in place with this bill, if we don't pass this amendment, are we putting in place a system in which we're telling a high school kid at the freshman year that they're already a failure, and we're encouraging them to get out of the system? And I'd like to think not, but I have a fear that we are, Madam Speaker. So I speak in favor of the amendment.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I also rise in support of the amendment. And, I think there's a lot of thought has to go down of what type of test are we talking about here? Are we just talking about a basic test of skills, meaning a test that probably most ninth graders can pass? You know, I didn't graduate from high school either. I quit. When I graduated in class, when we graduated, I was in Vietnam or on my way to Vietnam. So I didn't graduate either. I took the GED test. Without ever studying for it, I passed it. They just gave it to me in basic training and in the Army, and I passed it. So I'm not sure what that says about my education up to that point. But what kind of test are we talking about here? This amendment, I believe, allows us to develop a good test, a strong test, a test that people could actually work hard because they want that endorsement on their diploma, one that would mean something. Are we going to develop a test that, in order to get that, the average who is going to pass? You know, the proof's in the pudding. We put a law together like this that's going to be a test. The department has to come back in 98 and tell us what criteria that we're going to use to make that test in order to pass to get a high school diploma. I can tell you that you're going to have constituents from all over the place complaining about that test. Either that test is going to be too easy or it's going to be too hard. It's going to be outcome-based. We don't want outcome-based education. Why? Because we want local control of our schools. We're going to have a lot of arguments. But yet, if we pass this amendment, Madam Speaker, this will allow us to develop a test that is really a tough test to pass. The path students really have to achieve something to get to that point. You know, it would take the brighter kids maybe and say, man, we've got to work. Just easing their way through, because actually school is easy. may be boring to them. Madam Speaker, I think this is a very good amendment to the bill. It would allow us to challenge our students in Alaska, which is what we need to do. I'm not sure that we can devise a test that we're going to say that you get a diploma or not get a diploma that is challenging to that many students. I'd urge passage of the amendment.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. I remember when I attended school, grade school on through, you got a grade, and then under that grade was a number. And that number signified whether you're working up to your potential or not. And probably the most devastating thing that could happen to a person would be get a D and say underneath that you're working up to your full potential. The ideal situation was to get a B and then have under not working up to full potential. And that was the ultimate goal for many of us, to get good grades but not working up to our full potential. But something that the representative from District 27 mentioned that kind of triggered that some of us say, well, we're not working up to our full potential. But what happens to a student who is working up to their full potential, who is basically a good person, who is trying and struggling very hard to master the material, but there's no hope? Now, I attended school with many of my friends happened to be that way. They were working up to their potential. They were trying hard, but it just wasn't going to happen. I've also was a teacher, and I had a lot of young people in my classes that would come to me and say, Mr. So-and-so, I just don't understand. And in my mind, I'd look at them and say, yeah, I know you don't understand. And then I would say to them, well, you know, if you you come to every class we have, why don't you write this little paper or do the questions at the end of the chapter, you hand them in to me, and I'll make sure that you pass the course. In other words, there are people out there who try very, very hard, but for some reason or other, they just can't make it work for them. And this is why I like this amendment that's being proposed, because what this does is it doesn't make life more awkward for those people who have been in your classmates and are now, you go back to your reunions and you see them with families and a successful little business, you know, they're doing things and they're very productive in their area, from putting a stigma, you know, stigmatizing them early on where they are rejected. And when you get together and say, well, I graduated from such and such a school. And it's kind of interesting, you go back after a 20-year reunion and the high point of some of those people's lives is, do you remember the time I broke through, you know, on the fourth quarter and we went all the way and we did this? And that's the high point. So, Madam Speaker, what I'm saying is there's some people out there that just can't master what maybe those in this body take for granted. And they're good people. They're solid people. I think we've got to be very careful what we're doing here, and I would recommend that we pass this amendment.
Representative Bundy?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. There's some excellent points that have been brought up, and I'd like to speak to them. You know, earlier, I think the representative of District 3 talked about making changes incrementally. And there are states who do have endorsed diplomas that basically an honors or a cum laude or summa cum laude diploma. And I am not opposed to that. But that's another bill and one that perhaps we ought to address after we incrementally introduce the basic competency required for a diploma. And we can talk about an honors diploma if that's necessary. The representative from Sitka hit on a very important point, one that we discussed in some detail in committee. What are we going to do with a person who has an IQ of 80 who will not pass the high school competency test? And that is a difficult challenge. But I submit, Madam Speaker, that giving them a meaningless high school diploma will not elevate their IQ. Giving them a diploma will not change their IQ to one of 100. What it does is give them a diploma that is a lie. A number of us would like to do a lot of things, but we're not qualified, and so we don't do them. someone with an IQ of 80 applying for a job and saying, I have a high school diploma. On the bright side, they will get a certificate of attendance that does indicate the hours and courses completed. But we cannot say that they are functionally literate if they are not. And I'm sorry about that, but we simply cannot do it. The other side of the coin has to be examined as well. The business community is very frustrated that in Alaska, a high school diploma does not carry the message that they think it should. And those people who do well in school and get a diploma and can pass the achievement test, they have a right that their high school diploma, the validity of their high school diploma, not be eroded by us issuing high school diplomas to people who cannot pass the competency test.
Representative Davies.
Well, thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I support the concept in this amendment because it does, as it was indicated earlier, change it from a kind of a negative statement to a positive statement. And Madam Speaker, I guess I'm sitting here thinking about what, you know, what does a high school diploma mean? And certainly there's been a lot of criticism of some of the students who've graduated from high schools in various places in the state. But Madam Speaker, I would say that we really should leave that question, what does a high school diploma mean, to the school district. This is essentially a local educational issue, you know, and what should be the standards for graduation from high schools in my area of the state, I believe, belongs to the Fairbanks North Star School Board. Madam Speaker, that school board has set up a very strong curriculum, and they've set up some core courses, and they said if you don't pass these courses, you don't get a diploma. We have standards in the district for what constitutes a diploma from the Fairbanks North Star School District, and I think that diploma has some meaning. And I think that for a competency test to work statewide, it's obviously going to have to be some minimal standard. I think, you know, I suspect that the vast majority of students in our district will pass that without much problem. But, Madam Speaker, I guess I'm troubled by the concept that we're going to mandate from the state level that because you don't pass one particular exam, and maybe, in the granted, you can take it a couple different times, but that even, I just by the way, that there's a problem with that. If you offer that exam too early, then clearly you're going to have to lower the bar even lower, you know, because it's not reasonable for a person to be able to pass it. But putting that aside, Madam Speaker, the basic issue for me is that the local board of education should be the place that sets the standard, the ultimate standard, of what the diploma means. Now, if we want to put on top of that some additional meaning and we want to add to that an additional achievement, well, why not do it this way? Why not do it with a gold star that you attach to your diploma and say, you know, not only did I graduate from XYZ school district, but I passed this other hurdle. And I think that would satisfy both things. That would allow the local control to decide what it means to get a diploma from that district, and it would allow the business community, if this test meant anything to them, to look at that diploma and say, oh yeah, I'll hire this guy. He's got a gold star in his diploma. What I fear, Madam Speaker, is that the competency test that we're contemplating here is going to be of necessity of a low enough level that it won't accomplish the ends in any case. In fact, Madam Speaker, we all know that what happens is a person goes on in life and proves themselves in many different ways. Some people don't even get a diploma and achieve great things. Other people, many other jobs require advanced education. You know, we require a master's degree, or some jobs require doctoral degrees. So, Madam Speaker, each level along the way has its own meaning, and I think that the meaning that's there now is determined by the local board. We've got to leave that determination to the local board, And at the state level, we should be looking at ways to help those local boards through the use of model curricula, through the use of teacher training, through providing other kinds of assistance to the districts to bring up their standards. We have right now, I mean, I think in the Fairbanks district, we test with a national standardized test. We test the kids at every single year with the CAT. So, Madam Speaker, we have the information. I mean, whatever information this test is going to provide us in terms of how well the students are doing, certainly at least in our area of the state, that information is available. So I guess I think that to take away from the local district the ability to say, here's your diploma, and all you can instead, all you can give them is a certificate of attendance if they don't pass this test, I think is going the wrong direction. If we were to pass this amendment, I think it would actually turn it around, put it in a positive light that many people could support. Thank you.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise to oppose this amendment. And I know that it's been discussed on several occasions before that we are dealing with the id of some of the students. But, Madam Speaker, I will preface all my remarks with the fact that the students in the class right now know where they are. It's not unusual to go into a classroom and know who the brighter students are, who the less talented students are. So as far as not receiving a diploma and instead receiving a certificate that says that at least you were there and you took these various courses, you spent this much time, is not such a demeaning thing, because when they graduate with a meaningless diploma, they already know where they rank. At least they have a pretty good idea. Madam Speaker, I think we do a tremendous disservice if we were to modify and not incorporate this, because that's what's been happening all along. We have students graduating from college with a diploma and anticipating that that's the real life out there. Madam Speaker, these students are mostly 18 years old. Some are 17, some are 19, but probably the majority are 18 years old. That entitles them to do a lot of things, one of which is to go out and either try and get into a college or try and get a job. And, Madam Speaker, to allow them to go through high school, those formative years in high school, knowing that whether they pay attention, whether they do anything, they will get a diploma. Because, Madam Speaker, there's a difference between attending a class and passing the class, meeting the requirements of the class. And, Madam Speaker, this happens frequently, that in order to make way for the next wave of students coming through, they attended, we'll shove them out with perhaps not a very good grade, but they did get a grade, they did show up, they tried, they didn't qualify, they did not actually meet the requirements of the class, but they were there. And, Madam Speaker, this goes even further than high school. Now we have a problem with these students who want to go on to college and have not met the minimum requirements, really, even though they've got a diploma. They go to college or a junior college, maybe not in this state, and that institution then, especially in this state, is required to make up the deficiencies. Madam Speaker, this is a very, very expensive way to try and bring these students up, because of either they were bored, they were incapable, whatever the reason, to try and get them now to force their way through a college system, which too has a tendency in some classes not to require full competency, just to get them through because they are a number. Madam Speaker, we have a problem because this state, probably as much as any state, is competing worldwide, not just nationally, but internationally. And while we may be approaching the median for the United States, we are far, far below 14th or 15th nationally when we compete with students from other countries. Madam Speaker, as we go into the 21st century, our competitive level internationally is going to be more and more acute. We can no longer hide behind the borders of this country saying, hey, we measure up pretty well with all the other people in this country. That's not good enough, Madam Speaker. Those of the students that are going to go on and achieve a higher education, they need to actually be far better than the average in the United States. And Madam Speaker, the only way you're going to be able to do that is to actually learn, not just be pushed on. Madam Speaker, I'm going to relate a situation in my own family. I have a firstborn as a son who it was later determined had dyslexia, but not until after he got out of high school. This boy graduated from a California, not Alaska, but in those days, California at least was even to, and in some cases was ahead of the national average. And he graduated with a sixth grade reading comprehension, Madam Speaker. Now, he later overcame this once he found out his problem and has his own plumbing business now. But, Madam Speaker, a year later, I have a daughter who graduated from the same high school with the same diploma, who was a constant honor roll student, who was an exchange student to Costa Rica, and all she was what they called in those days the mentally gifted minors. Two people from the same family, the same high school with the same diploma. Now, Madam Speaker, to say that they are equal because they both have diplomas from this high school is absurd. There should be a delineation, demarking, certainly she got a lot of accolades as well as the diploma, and there were those things. She was a constant honor roll student and all these various things in addition to the diploma. But to just take the diploma down, these two people vying for the same job would be preposterous. So, Madam Speaker, we have to establish that there are as many as maybe half of our students who are not going to get what we need to establish as the minimum criteria for high school diploma. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Madam Speaker, the previous speaker just jolts to me. Are we saying that we're going to write a test that is strong enough and tough enough that half of our students are not going to pass it and get a high school diploma? I mean, if that be the case that the majority is trying to lead us to here, how do we deal then with those other half? I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing to these kids? Half of our students are not going to pass it. I look forward to the debate on what this test looks like.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
12 yeas, 26 nays.
And so Amendment Number 2 fails to pass the House. Does the clerk have further amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for HB 146 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. House Bill 146 will be held in third reading for Wednesday's calendar. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
CS for Senate Bill 83, Finance, amended by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Making and Amending Appropriations, amending an appropriation from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund under Article 9, Section 17C, Constitution of the State of Alaska, and providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 83, Finance, with the same title, recommending due pass Hanley, Mulder, Foster, Martin, Moses, Davis, Kelly, Terrio, amend Coring and Grusendorf. The report was signed by Hanley and Terrio. Co-chairs, I have one House Committee Substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move to ask unanimous consent that the House Finance Committee Substitute for CS for SB 83 Finance amended be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee Substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
Yes, Madam Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Representative Terrio to page 12, line 1.
Representative Terrio.
Madam Speaker, I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Terrio.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment is just to clarify the language that was added on the Senate floor. I have spoken to the maker of the amendment as recently as this morning, and he did agree with this clarification. What we're basically saying is when in the salary study language, or the language that was put in dealing with the salary study, and then also asking that the area cost differential for providing education be included in the study that's done. What we're asking for is to clarify that when you're talking about the cost differential for providing education, you don't want that just to be salaries and benefits. You want that to be how much does it cost in an area to provide a classroom and the equipment and the teacher. That's a broader topic than just salaries and benefits. So that's why we've come up with this language to clarify that we're talking about how much does it cost to operate the school based on its size in the geographic area of the state that it's located.
Is the objection maintained? Without objection? House stand at ease. House come back to order. House come back to order. Without objection, amendment number one is adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number two by Representative Grusendorf, adding a new subsection under section three.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move amendment number two.
There is objection. Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, Madam Speaker, back in October 1966, the mill closed in Ketchikan, and the governor responded by forming a quick working team with the Commerce and Economic Development, and what they were trying to do was mitigate the impact and try to evaluate and figure out what they could do to help Ketchikan. During that time period, the governor's office RSA'd $10,000 over to hire a resident community coordinator there, and that was to run for about 3 months. And then in what has been happening there, the governor submitted a $60,000 amendment to the supplemental to continue on that position in working with Commerce and Economic Development and the community. And also you'll notice if you have backup on that $60,000, $25,000 would be for that community coordinator, and $15,000 was geared for development in relation with small timber and small timber sales. And what they were hoping to do was kind of jumpstart and get some of the smaller operators to be able to get some timber and find ways to deal with a secondary type of activities. And we still have several months before the next fiscal year kicks in. And the governor had asked for this, and the supplemental will continue on to prepare for the next step, which occurs, I believe, in the capital budget, what we call CERT. And that's the Community Economic Development program that's going to go on there to further this. And so to develop some background, the governor had asked for this amount of money, and I think it would be in our best interest to make sure that this is passed, because it not only affects Ketchikan, it affects Rango, and the $15,000 I mentioned with the small timber sales affects Sitka and all the southeast towns, coordinating and trying to find out where there might be some sales, where we could help the individuals. Thank you.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amount was in the original bill that we passed. It was taken out before it came over here, and the reasoning, and I think it's a good rationale, is frankly the governor has a contingency fund of somewhere between $250,000 and $450,000. He also has, in addition to that, an excess or a surplus that will lapse this year of approximately $1 million. The governor has more than enough money in this fiscal year that's already been appropriated to cover these kinds of contingencies.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt amendment number two? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
10 yeas, 23 nays.
And so amendment number two fails to pass. Clerk, please read amendment number three.
Amendment number three by Representative Elton to section 19 on page 11.
Representative Elton.
I move amendment number three, Madam Speaker.
There is objection. Representative Elton.
Madam Speaker, this is a pretty straightforward amendment. Appropriates a little over $390,000. That money is necessary to pay for the fuel to meet the scheduled Marine Highway stops over the last 3 months of the year. Madam Speaker, I'd like to point out that The Marine Highway System has a fuel database that looks at the amount of fuel consumed for each voyage, the amount of fuel purchased for each voyage. So they're not taking shots in the dark when they try to anticipate what the fuel needs of the system are. Right now, Madam Speaker, the system is paying about 82 cents a gallon for fuel. If we work that out for the next 3 months, that means that they'd need someplace in the neighborhood of $470,000 to pay for fuel over the last few months of the fiscal year. They do, however, expect that the cost of fuel is going down, and they do expect that they don't need the $470,000, that $390,000, or in the neighborhood of $390,000 is going to be the right level. Madam Speaker, the amount that's in the supplemental budget now assumes that the price of fuel will drop to 65 cents a gallon. And I think while we all may wish that fuel prices, whether it's for the Marine Highway System or for our automobiles, will drop by that percentage amount, I mean, I think it would be asking for an awful lot. So, Madam Speaker, I think what we need to do is we need to appropriate the amount of money that's necessary. I just remind members that schedules, stops, all of this has been fixed for the last 3 months of the fiscal year, so there's no way that the department can make up the short funding for the fuel costs by juggling the schedules. Tickets have already been sold. Madam Speaker, I'd encourage people to vote yes on Amendment number 3.
Representative Panley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We based the number when it first went out of here, and it's the same now, on analysis done by Legislative Finance, both on utilization and price, and this was the number that they had suggested, so that's the number that we included, the 130, not the 391.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment number 3? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
10 yeas, 22 nays.
And so Amendment number 3 fails to pass. Clerk, please read Amendment number 4.
Amendment number 4 by Representative Bryce to page 12, lines 6 through 8.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. At the behest of my good friend from District 14, I would withdraw Amendment 4.
Amendment number 4 is withdrawn. Clerk, please read Amendment number 5.
Amendment number 5 by Representative Bryce to page 5, lines 10 through 18.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move Amendment number 5.
There is objection. Representative Bryce.
Madam Speaker, given the job that the Department of Health and Social Services is facing, implementing the new welfare reform mandates by the federal government, as well as the changes that we've passed through this body last year, I think it's very important that the department have the adequate funds that in their field service technicians, I believe is where it is, to address a lot of the needs that they're facing. So basically what this would do is allow the unobligated funds or the unobligated balance of the appropriations made in the current year's budget, I believe, to lapse through next year to help address the problems that they will surely be facing.
Representative Hanley.
Madam Speaker, you know, each year we hear about how we've underfunded areas, and we're going through that again in the budget, and health and social services is often one of those. If they have money to roll forward, Madam Speaker, we gave them too much money this year. And we are debating the level of funding that they should have next year in the budget process. I think that's appropriate. We're going through all the different issues, including the welfare reform, and yes, we do have differing opinions on how much money they need to handle this particular approach. At this point, I would not support rolling this forward, although if we wanted to roll it forward, I'll just go get the estimate of the money, and we can reduce that from the amount that we think they need that's already in the budget next year. I think it's just cleaner, Madam Speaker, to let them use the money that they have this year, and we'll debate the level of funding for next year in the budget as we go through the process.
11 yeas, 23 nays.
And so Amendment Number 5 fails to pass. Clerk, please read Amendment Number 6.
Amendment Number 6 by Representative Hanley to page 6 following line 6.
Representative Hanley.
Move Amendment Number 6.
Without objection, Amendment Number 6 is adopted. Clerk, please read Amendment Number 7.
Amendment Number 7 by Representative Croft to page 12, line 9.
Representative Croft.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move Amendment Number 7.
There is objection. Representative Croft.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This relatively simple amendment, there was it's a difference of $50,000. And in the governor's request, he asked for $150,000 to pursue opening of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to responsible oil development, and about $500,000 to Arctic Power to pursue that same goal. They pursue the same goal. However, the administration has a couple of different tools that it can use that complement Arctic Power's efforts. In addition, they do somewhat more. They're also pushing a little bit beyond Arctic Power's scope. They're pushing to open up the National Petroleum Reserve, and we think that there's a lot to indicate that that might happen even sooner. So this just restores the governor's request. It moves that $50,000 back in, so the governor would get $150,000, Arctic Power would get approximately $500,000, and they'd be able to implement the coordinated approach that they worked out together. They sat down together and divided up who would pursue what. And so I'm worried about the impact that this shift from the negotiated solution, the shift from what the governor requested would have not only on the coordinated approach that we want on ANWR, but on how it might affect the gas line or the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska. These are areas that the broader scope of the governor's efforts allows him to pursue while Arctic Power stays focused on the ANWR issue. So this is what they asked for. I think that we should support that effort in whatever way we can, and in particular not shift their requested funds in this very important area. So I'd urge the members to support opening the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to reasonable development through adopting this amendment.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The effect of the amendment is, as was spoken, it takes money away from the Arctic Power approach and gives more money to the governor's office. Not only, and I would note that a lot of the money that's been spent under the appropriations made for these purposes in the past years to the governor's office have not been utilized for ANWR. They've been used on gas line promotion and other things. This is if you look at the wording very carefully, it's oil and gas exploration development on the North Slope, not just, and they have utilized some of this money, and I think they intend to use some of this on the petroleum reserve up there as well. I think leaving more money with Arctic Power, which is the ANWR promotion effort, is appropriate. Some of that money is used for private citizens. Some of it's used for legislative travel. Some of it is used for governor's office expenses when they incur them on these particular areas when dealing specifically with ANWR. That leaves the governor with $100,000 to either utilize ANWR or if he chooses to go for other areas on the North Slope for oil and gas. So I think the appropriate mix is included in the bill.
Ready for the question?
Could we have a brief at ease, please?
I'll stand at ease. You ready for the question? Representative Davies?
Speaker, I rise in support of the amendment. Madam Speaker, I guess I would just question, you know, given the political circumstances that we're in right now, you know, I support opening ANWR, but I think realistically, I don't believe that, you know, anything substantially changed this year from last year. And so, Madam Speaker, I wonder what about the utility of spending this amount of money on an effort to open ANWR. I think we should continue to keep the issue alive, but Madam Speaker, I wonder if it really makes sense to spend this amount of money right now on that issue when perhaps a little more money ought to be spent on opening PET 4. And that there's the prospect of having that happen in the near term is I think, substantially higher, does need some work by the state, and would make sense to me to shift effort a little bit. We're only talking about shifting 50,000 here. We're not talking about not doing the other effort, but Madam Speaker, I think that to broaden our scope up there on the North Slope would make a lot of sense. And I really question the wisdom of how much money we're spending. I don't think the situation's changed in Washington, D.C. or throughout the rest of the United States. You know, this year to last year, we've got the same basic political problems that we had before. And I guess I just wonder why it wouldn't make sense to shift our effort a little bit for a couple of years.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 7? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
10 yeas, 22 nays.
And so Amendment Number 7 fails to pass the House. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 8 by Representative Davies to page 6, line 7.
Representative Davies.
Speaker, I withdraw the amendment.
Number 8 has been withdrawn. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 9 by Representative Berkowitz to page 8, lines 26 through 28.
Representative Berkowitz.
I move Amendment 9.
There is objection. Representative Berkowitz.
I was hoping more people had left so the objections wouldn't sound so loud. But I move this amendment because it seems to me if we're going to adopt the welfare-to-work program for industry, we ought to do the same thing for individuals. And if we're going to fund it for industry, we should fund it for individuals. And I applaud, actually, the intent of this fund, but in the hopes of inspiring consistency in this body, I would urge us to use this concept where we're dealing with individuals as well.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm not sure of the analogy. We are adding money to the Welfare to Work program. We can debate about how much additional money we need to add, but in next year's budget. I think the amendment actually describes it quite well. It was an FY98-99 capital request. This pulls it back in the supplemental, allows them to get it on the streets earlier. I suspect it won't be funded in the 98 capital budget as we go through this project. So it's not like it was pulled out of the air from somewhere. It was in the governor's request. And hopefully we'll be able to get some of this done sooner. So I would oppose just deleting this amount out of the supplemental.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would rise in opposition to this amendment also. I believe that these aeromagnetic efforts have been among the most productive things we've done in terms of generating new jobs and new economic activity in the state, and we ought to be supporting them.
Representative Berkowitz.
I withdraw the amendment.
Amendment number 9 is withdrawn. Clerk, please read Amendment 10.
Representative Berkowitz to page 9, lines 7 through 9.
There is objection. Representative Berkowitz.
Well, seeing as I was persuaded by some of the argument in the last amendment, I was hoping people might be persuaded here. It's a little confusing to me, this is my first time through a budget, that appropriations for future years from capital areas somehow become diverted into supplemental budgets. And the rationale has been explained that what we'll do is ease the pressure on future budgets. But it seems to me that when we're easing the pressure on future budget, we're increasing the pressure on the current budget. The sum of $568,000 would fund a lot of the programs that I feel have been short-funded this year. And I imagine I'm going to hear the response that we are having budget debate. But the only way I get a chance to participate in the debate is to make amendments such as this.
Representative Hanley.
Madam Speaker, I would just note this, similar to the last one, was, I believe, a funded capital project for FY98. It is one of the timber sales that they have planned. Allowing this in the supplemental does allow them to get it out earlier. I would note that this, along with the others, actually brings in more revenue than they are anticipated to spend in these programs. So I've got the sum of the three timber sales, and it's not just this one. It's about $700,000 to the good, I guess, for all three. So I guess if it's about equal, it would be a couple $100,000 on this one that we would actually bring in next fiscal year if they could get this out and going and sell the project. So it does get some of that economic development going out there that was in the budget, in the capital budget.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 10? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
5 yeas, 31 nays.
And so Amendment Number 10 fails to pass the House. Does the clerk have further amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 83, Finance, amended House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third. Would the clerk please read the title?
House CS for CS for Senate Bill 83, Finance, amended House by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Making and Amending Appropriations, amending an appropriation from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund under Article 9, Section 17C, Constitution of the State of Alaska, and providing for an effective date.
Debate? Representative Hanley?
Be very brief, Madam Speaker. It does fit within. We had, as we have in the past, included money for a supplemental in our spending plan for the following year. This fits within that goal, brings it right up just about to the level that we had planned for, and we've actually debated a number of the additions that have been added to this bill beyond what we saw before, whether it's the Arctic Power money, some of the timber sales, there's a couple of geophysical surveys that are out there. Salary study is back in, including money for a school differential. If we're going to rewrite the foundation formula, you need to have some information on that. So, Madam Speaker, I think this does handle a lot of the situations that we need. It fits within our spending plan. I would encourage everyone to vote yes.
Mr. Minority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I just have one question, and then after I get that answered, I'll make a brief statement. But if the co-chair of Finance could just answer me why on the salary studies on page 11 of the bill, are we also including what in my mind is just wasting money on studying what they do in the Pacific Northwest at the same time?
Representative Hanley?
Madam Speaker, I believe that's because it came out of the Long Range Planning Commission. That was their recommendation that when we, their recommendation was that we implement a salary system in Alaska that compared private and public sector and also compared the wages and salaries in Alaska to similar states in the Pacific Northwest particularly, and then make adjustments, of course, for cost of living. So the language, I believe, came right out of that Long Range Planning Commission report.
Mr. Minority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I appreciate the answer, and I won't object to it then. I wanted the body to know that I appreciate the co-chairs working with the administration and getting the supplemental done. I especially appreciate his introduction of Amendment Number 6 today, which deals with the capital needs of both the McLaughlin and Fairbanks Youth Center. And this is actually a governor's bill submitted to him, and I appreciate the majority's willingness to work with them, and I will vote for the bill.
Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 83. Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so Senate Bill 83 passes the House. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of SB 83 be the roll call vote on approving the amended appropriations in Section 11A of the bill from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund under Article 9, Section 17C of the State Constitution.
Without objection, the appropriations of the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund are approved. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would also move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on the passage of HSC for CS for SB 83 Finance Amended be the roll call vote on the effective date.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
There are citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citation on today's calendar are approved. Under unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader.
I have no requests for absences, Madam Speaker.